music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
And on the line now, I'd like to welcome Tom Halpin, who is Head of Communications with SEAI. Thank you very much for taking the call, Tom.
Hello, John. How are you?
We're going to talk about the grants, changes in some of the grants that are available out there. But will you just explain to the listeners first what SEAI is all about?
Okay, well, at the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, John, we work with government, with homeowners, with communities and with businesses to try and make them more efficient in the way they use energy and, where possible, to make greater use of renewable energy. And that means basically using less and using clean. That helps them save money through energy efficiency, using less energy, but it also helps them contribute to our objective of combating climate change to reduce harmful greenhouse gas emissions.
Now, some of the high energy bills are a nightmare for people, but not everybody would be aware that there are grants available to help cut back on the bills.
Yeah, well, for most people, energy bills are almost, people consider them to be a fixed cost that can't be helped. Clearly, in any one home, there are things that people can do in the way they use their home to save money. Let's take, for example, the average listener out there that might be living in a three-bed or four-bed semi-detached family home. They could be spending in the order of €1,800, €1,900 on energy every year. And through making their home more energy efficient by insulating and improving, you know, insulating the walls in the attic and improving the heating system that they have, they could save maybe €600, €700 a year. So it's considerable sums. And when those works have paid for themselves, which might happen over 4, 5, 6 years, then actually those savings continue. So it's a long-term investment in the home. But not only are those homes saving money, they're much more comfortable because the heat has been kept in for longer. There's a healthier indoor living environment, which is very important, and that's particularly true for the old and infirmed, or those with young children, or those that might have maybe breathing difficulties. But as I mentioned as well, that means each individual homeowner has an ability to play their part in combating climate change, because there's going to be substantially reduced emissions. So it's cost, it's comfort, it's convenience, it's health. There's just so many great benefits to upgrading your home.
And it's very appropriate at the moment with the way the weather is and what we're going to be getting. So we go through some of the grants, Tom.
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, there's grants for insulation, and we always suggest that people insulate their homes first. The reason you insulate your home is because whatever heat you're currently putting into your home, you should make sure it stays in for as long as possible. Start with the very obvious one that most listeners will probably be familiar with, which is attic insulation, and there is a €300 grant available for attic insulation. The grants, by the way, are fixed grants, irrespective of the size of home you have. But if, let's say, taking that typical home, a 3 or 4 bed semi-detached home, the grants will typically contribute about 30-35% of the cost of work. So that's just as a guideline. After you insulate the attic, there's the wall insulation, and there's three types of wall insulation that can be done. You can, if the home is built with what's called cavity construction, that's not hollow block, but cavity construction, where there's a gap between the inside wall and the outside wall, then that gap can be filled with blown polystyrene beads, which stick together and actually form a solid board inside the wall. And there's a grant of €300 for that. Then after that, you can go with dry lining, which is insulating the inside of the walls. So you insulate all the outside walls, but on the inside of them. And it's typically about 4 inches thick of insulation and board. So you're talking 80 to 100 millimetres of total insulation. The grant for that, it varies between €1,200 and €2,400, depending on the type of home you live in, because with that you may have more walls to insulate. And finally, there's external wall insulation. And that's becoming a lot more prevalent, and your listeners may well have seen it, or may well have neighbours who've already had it done. That's where the polystyrene insulation is applied to the outside of the house, and then it's covered over with specific products that will actually give it strong, rigid finish, like a plaster finish, exactly like the normal home. And the grant for that varies between €2,700 and up to €6,000 for the detached house. So that's the insulation part. So now you've got the heat staying in. We also provide grants for heating system upgrades. the first one from those people who are who've decided they want to stick with their conventional oil or gas-fired central heating system, there's a controls upgrade, heating controls upgrade. And why we want people to upgrade their heating controls is that will be make the heating system far more efficient and convenient to operate, because with heating controls you've got time and temperature control and zone control. Time control means you can turn the heating on when you need it. Temperature control means you have it up to the comfort level you need or you want. And zone control means you can turn on different parts of the heating system to heat different parts of the home. So that might be the downstairs during the day and the upstairs at night, or the upstairs in the morning and the downstairs not at all during the day because you're out at work, and various combinations. And also allows you to heat the hot water separately. So there's a €700 grant for heating controls. And the last two upgrade grants that are available relate to converting your heating system to renewables or bringing renewables into your heating system. One is for solar panels, solar thermal panels, which are it will generate help you generate hot water. Typical home, if it's suitable for solar panels, you can get about 60% of your hot water needs from a solar panel in Ireland, because it doesn't need heat, it needs mostly light to fall on the solar panel. And there's a €1,200 grant for that. And the last grant for renewables, which hasn't been introduced yet, but it's due in middle of April, is for heat pumps. And heat pumps are a way of taking heat from the outside and bringing it inside, even on a cold day, like the cold days we have today.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
It works like a fridge in reverse, in much the way the fridge takes heat from the food and cools it down, and then the grill at the back of the fridge is warm. That's the exact same thing for your heating system. It takes what you wouldn't believe, that there's heat in the air outside, but it takes that heat and brings it into the inside of the house. So the grants range from €300 all the way up to €6,000 for insulation. And really worthwhile people checking them out on our website at seai.ie.
Yeah, now you mentioned the outside insulation, and people might be listening saying, oh, don't think you'd fancy that. But I've seen it, and it's actually very nice to look at when it's finished.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, that's one of the things that we often recommend, that if the house is due for some form of significant renovation, which might include removing or updating the plaster finish or whatever is on the outside, or a pebble dash finish that may be crumbling away, because you're going to be doing the external finish on the house, it is a perfect time to get the insulation on the outside. The beauty of it is it wraps the whole home and is sealed. The insulation is the junctions of the insulation are perfectly sealed, which makes for a far more comprehensive job. It keeps all that heat inside your home.
And the controls that you also mentioned there, that's a very interesting one, because I know there is a lot of old systems, central heating systems out there, and there's no controls whatsoever on them. And people are leaving their heating on constant. And
It is a shame that there are still heating systems out there, as you say, that actually don't have any form of control on them. You know, there were many homes built with absolutely no time control on them. It's well worth, even if a person wasn't considering getting a grant for the heating system from us, for the heating controls upgrade that we require, it's really, really, really well worth a person's while to think about putting a timer and a thermostat on the heating system they have. The timer means that the heating can be set to come on, say, 30 minutes before you get up, so as the house is warm when you get up. You can turn it, then set it to go off 30 minutes before you leave for work, because there's enough residual heat in the system to keep the house warm. Then you turn it on 30 minutes before you come in from work, so your house is nice and warm when you come home. Turn it off 30 minutes before you go to bed, because you don't need it again, because there's enough residual in the heat now. That's the reason you put on a timer, and that's just one single timer for your boiler in your home. Thermostat, multiple thermostats controlling different parts of the home, clearly ideal, because the temperature that you might want in the kitchen versus the temperature you might want in the bedroom area versus the temperature you might want in the halls are all different. But if you have one thermostat in the house, which a lot of houses are just limited to one thermostat, then at least it means you don't overheat a home. And the problem is that when you overheat a home, what do? You have to open a window to let some of that heat out, or you open a door to let some of that heat out into the hall where it's not going to be used. And that just is, you can imagine how wasteful that is. So without time and temperature control, it's pretty much like having your kettle and just constantly hitting it and boiling it to 100 degrees and then boiling it again and boiling it again. You just wouldn't do it, you know. So if people, as I say, aren't considering getting grant-aided works done, but you don't have time and temperature control in your heating system, it's really, really well worth considering now.
And boilers, replacement boilers. How often would a boiler need to be replaced, Tom? Would you have an idea?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if I can just say, just to clarify, that in the recent announcement of the grant schemes, we stopped grant aiding boiler upgrades. Now, the grant was only available if you were doing it with boiler or with heating controls as well, and it was a small grant. And in fact, since the recent announcement, we increased the controls grant, so there's a little bit of a balancing measure done there. Now, in terms of replacing a boiler could last 10, 15, there are some clunkers out there that might be 20 years old. What's very important, though, John, for all of your listeners is that they maintain their boiler properly. First of all, people should maintain an oil boiler, have an oil boiler serviced once a year. A gas boiler at least every second year, though having it serviced every year is, you know, won't be have any problems. The reason you service a boiler is to clean it so as it works efficiently, because there can be a build-up of soot inside the device. That's a, so you're getting better value from your heating oil or gas. Second one is it'll make sure that it's operating safely, and safety is hugely important. And the third thing is it is likely to be more reliable. So if you get it serviced in August or September before you need it, a service technician is likely to see if there's something that's very imminently going to go, and you can at least get it repaired before the cold snap hits. And God knows we're going to get one of them this week.
We certainly are. And do you find that with the cost of energy bills now, that people are going to solid fuels?
Well, there is. We wouldn't be able to track that, John, but there's certainly anecdotal evidence that when people are struggling to heat their homes, that the easiest way for them to achieve it with a small amount of disposable income is to revert to using getting a small bag of coal or some wood or whatever. And that's clearly unfortunate. And we have to be conscious that not everyone can afford to heat their home, and not everyone can certainly afford upgrades. And we have particular schemes for vulnerable energy-poor homes. Now, the homeowners have to be in receipt of certain social welfare entitlements as well, and the details of that are carried on our website. But for those homes that are eligible for the schemes, and if the home is suitable, SEAI will arrange to insulate the attic, insulate the walls if they're cavity walls construction, and put in draft proofing and a lagging jacket on the cylinder, and put in low energy light bulbs depending on what is suitable for the particular home. So for homeowners, for example, who are in receipt of the fuel allowance, those homeowners are likely to be eligible, provided they live in a home that was built before 2006 and that they own their own home.
I'm reading here 419,500 homes in Dublin could be eligible for these new and increased grants. Are these grants means tested, Tom?
The grants for the works where we pay a contribution towards the works, they're not means tested. The only eligibility there is that the home is built and occupied before 2006. Now, you don't have to be the first occupant of the home, but it just needs to have been built and occupied before 2006. You have to own the home. You apply before you get the start of works, and you apply with our online system, which is a very slick online system, which gives instantaneous offer. Or you can apply through the post if you contact our call centre, and I'll give the number in a moment. They're not means tested. The scheme for the vulnerable energy poor homes is effectively means tested, because one of the eligibility criteria relates to the person's eligibility for other social welfare benefits, because that tends to identify or highlight particularly vulnerable homes. So there is a means testing of that. In either case, if your listeners want to check out the details on our website, I mentioned it earlier, seai.ie, or my colleagues in our contact centre will be more than delighted to take your call and guide you through the various grants that are available and which ones would be most suitable for you. And that's on 1850 927 000. So that's 1850 927 000.
Now, obviously, there's going to be guidelines as regards who's going to do this work in your home, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's a slight difference there to both schemes. Start with the scheme where the person is paying for the works themselves. When they apply, they'll be asked to select a contractor from our registered list of contractors. These registered contractors have applied to be registered with us on the basis of their demonstrated qualifications for the relevant measures, the fact that they commit to undertake a works in accordance with our technical specification and a code of practice. They are tax compliant, which is hugely important because we're dispersing public monies. They're insured to do the works, and we've seen the evidence of their insurance, and that has to be up-to-date insurance. And they commit to undertake the works in accordance with a contract, because it's important when people are paying, could be paying substantial sums of money, that there is a contract where the homeowner and the contractor agree. Just basic things like exactly how much it's going to cost, when will the work start, when will the work finish, and who's responsible for certain things that might be ambiguous, but also when the payments have been made. Is it all paid up front? Is it all paid at the end? Is it half and half? Whatever. So that's important. But the other thing is that contractors are subject to random inspections throughout the year, and so there is a degree of quality assurance there for homeowners who select from the registered contractor list. In the case of the vulnerable fuel poor homes or energy poor homes, the works are, we will send out a surveyor. The homeowner really does has to make their home available at the time and be there. So when they apply, we will make sure they walk through the process. We send a surveyor out to assess the home, make sure to decide what they're eligible for and what the home is suitable for. And then we will schedule the works by a contractor that's appointed by and managed by SEAI. So in those instances, we take the responsibility for the installation of the works in those homes.
Okay, Tom, it's all very, very interesting. And just to let people know, there are new and increased home energy grants now available. And will you just mention once again how people can go about availing of these grants?
Okay, well, first of all, those listeners who have access to the web, they can get our website, seai.ie. The details of the schemes are available there. People can read about them, and they can go straight through to the application system. The only piece of information they may not have to hand that they should have to hand when they're applying is their meter point reference number, or MPRN, and that's available at the top of your electricity bill. It's a 10-digit number. We need to know that so as we know whether the home has already gotten a grant or not. So once they have that, they will put in that details, their home address details. They will identify which works they want to get done. They will identify the contractor they want to get to do those works. If they're using their online system, they'll get an immediate approval from SEAI through the system, and they then have 6 months in which to get the work done. And at the end of the works, they have to get a building energy rating assessment done, which validates all of what has been installed, but it also gives them a cert that shows how much their home has improved. Because in fact many homeowners will have gotten a BER done beforehand, so that improvement is visible. All of that documentation is then the contractors sign off to say they did the works, the BER assessor sends, and the homeowner then sends all of that documentation back to us and indicates where they want the money to be paid, and that is paid as a lump sum into their nominated bank account, provided all the checks are in order in terms of the administration checks. Their home could be selected for inspection, which might require that the home is inspected prior to payment, but that's an appropriate way to manage public monies, as I mentioned. A person can apply by post as well, so if they contacted our call centre on 1850 927 000, they can request a form and a list of contractors that they might want to use, and then they can fill that in and send it. They should get grant approval within, say, 10 days or thereabouts, and when they get grant approval, same process. They have 6 months in which to get the works done and return all the documentation to us. The process for the other grant is very different, because once a person applies, we will take responsibility for walking them through the stages, and we will manage the works on their behalf. So they don't have to contact any contractors, or they don't have to do anything and arrange any of that. We look after that for them.
Right. So the people, they pay for this work, and then they get the grant. So, but they have been told beforehand that they are eligible for this grant. So does that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And they will have a letter of offer, and provided the contractor puts in the installs the works in accordance with the code of practice that we have, which it might sound like that's some sort of blocking manoeuvre. Yeah. It's not. That's to make sure the homeowner gets the best value for the works that they're after paying for. So it makes sure, for example, in an attic, it makes sure that attic insulation isn't just about rolling insulation out between the rafters. Attic insulation means you also need to insulate the pipes in the attic, because they will freeze in an attic that is now colder. It means insulating over the top of the tank, but not under the tank, because your cold water tank needs to be kept a little bit or protected from freezing. Also means putting in ventilation around the soffits, which is the just near your gutters, because in a colder attic, there's a risk of condensation, which could damage the timberwork in the attic. So that's why we have a technical specification. So the contractors that do this work know exactly what they have to do, and that's worth paying for. So it's vital that the person knows what they're getting in, what their works they're going to get done. In some instances, by the way, contractors, and they're perfectly entitled to do this, by the way, some contractors are perfectly happy to offer a service where, let's say, someone has been quoted €1,200 for an attic insulation, and they know, and they have a letter of offer that says they'll get €300 of a grant. The contractor might say, well, I'll just take €900 payment from you, and when the €300 is paid in the grant, you can pay me the rest. And you know, that's not a bad idea, because that means that, one, the contractor is able to get more jobs because he's offering a sort of an upfront cash flow assistance, but the homeowner has the potential of protection that, well, if the works are, let's say the works were to be inspected and didn't pass, well, then they're not out of pocket because of the failings of a contractor. You know, so there's a little bit of that'd be good practice. I think all of us would like to be protected like that in a transaction.
Yeah, that is that's a very good idea, and it's all above board, as you say.
Provided that's written into the contract, you know, it's no different to getting building works done. You know, you write down what it is you want the builder to do. You write down what it is you're going to do before the builder arrives. You write down who's going to pay what amounts when. And you know, we do encounter through this scheme, we do encounter disputes between homeowners and contractors, and quite often it's just on the basis of a simple misunderstanding.
Well, listen, Tom, it's been very informative and very interesting, and it's seai.ie or 1850 927 000.
Yeah, exactly, John. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for taking the call, Tom.
Okay. Bye bye.
Across Northeast Dublin.
90.3.
This is Near FM.